Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Melanie Buzzard is still missing as of this broadcast and this recording. 9-year-old Melanie Buzzard. She didn't just disappear one day. She slowly vanished in plain sight. For more than a year, she slipped through every layer of the system that's supposed to protect kids. The school stopped seeing her. CPS got complaints and backed off. Her own family said the house was full of rotting food and chaos. And then came the road trip, a wig and a rental car, a 1,500-mile drive to Nebraska, like you do, and a mother who returned home alone. Today, we're going to walk through the entire timeline, from those early red flags that everyone missed to the day she was last seen, to the FBI tearing apart her home and that rental car. We'll ask how a child can fall off every radar, what investigators are finding now, and what really happened in those 3 days that turned a neglected little girl into a national missing child case. This one is just, it's angering. It is so angering to watch because it's reminiscent of so many other cases where we see, okay, the child is missing, mom is back, there's no arrests yet, and mom doesn't want to cooperate with the police. In what world, apparently ours,
yeah,
but in what world does a parent not get arrested when their 9-year-old child is missing and they're refusing to tell anyone where the child is?
Can I share a tiny little story?
Yeah.
So, and this, it's distantly related, not really, but I just want to, I'm going to bring it full circle, so work with me here. It's just going to take about 30 seconds, okay?
All right.
It's a Stacey story, Todd. Get your beep, beep, beep ready, okay?
I got it ready.
Okay. So, when I was in high school, you know, being female, sometimes you have cramps. Okay. Yeah, I derailed us into that category for now, but work with me. So my mom, instead of me having to go to the nurse's office every time I needed a pain reliever, she just would hand me like 2 Tylenol. I'd put them in my jeans pocket. Life is fine. Well, I got caught taking a Tylenol at the water fountain, and I got my ass hauled to the principal's office, and I had to sit there for like an hour before they finally called my mom and found out what was going on. My mom
was taking a Tylenol?
Yes, a Tylenol.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
I shit you not, a Tylenol.
Yep.
One.
Yep.
I didn't even take the two. I had another one in my pocket. I had to surrender the one in my pocket as well. I was being
surprised
treated
they
like,
gave a shit at this point in time, honestly. You know, today I see more of that. I'm surprised this is the 80s, you know, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Late 80s. Yeah. But yes, yeah. But so my mom got lectured. I got lectured. It was a whole thing over a Tylenol. Mm-hmm. And then you see this case where yes. The red flags are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And people are just like, is my day done? I'm going to scroll on TikTok and look up some videos here or whatever. There is a child missing. Do you see how it's just like some areas are just overburdened with authority and regulation, and then others,
I'm surprised that the school took so long to reach out, because school started several weeks ago. Yeah. I don't know what part of the month of August or September it starts in California, to be honest. But I mean, October, early October was the first that somebody made a phone call and said, hey, this child has not checked in all season long.
Mm-hmm.
2 days in is when you should, maybe the first day, okay, maybe they didn't make it the first day. The second day they don't come to school, it is time for accountability. Where is this child?
You would think. And to answer the question about what's going on, she was in an independent study program.
But there should just be an accountability.
Well, which is, you need to register this. It's not just like you can just like take your kid out and be like, I'm going to do whatever. Although a lot of people do that. The thing is, the system doesn't. Number one, it is against the rules to do. You can't just pull them out and say you're doing this with zero accountability. In theory, you can't just do that. The problem is the people that do that, there's nobody to check. So there's no checks and balances. Nobody's like, oh, well, are they really doing that? CPS is overloaded. They don't have, there's not enough people in the district to do this. So it's like, we have this rule in place, but we really can't enforce it either. So it's there in theory, but when someone doesn't follow the rules to actually do that, well, then there's not really anybody to check it either until somebody really, really notices, or there's pressure put on somebody to take a look behind Pandora's box and see what's going on. Here's my experience being a parent and amongst other parents, too, and hearing some of their experiences with these sort of systems. When you are the one that raises your hand and says, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Let me check your boxes for you. And then you have your information. Then you're on the radar. And then anything on they're there. And then they want to keep checking. Now, this is not, I'm not speaking of CPS specifically. Although I am, I have a friend who has experience with this too. In fact, I will speak on this. And this is not my personal story, but I have a friend who was involved in this system helping kids, actually fostering. And the amount of attention that went into crossing that person's T's and dotting that person's I's by CPS when that person time and time again just demonstrates they're a perfect, great home, no problems whatsoever, but they go in and then they start like nitpicking the stupidest shit. Like just the dumbest shit that's going on that's not even like issues, but like, well, maybe. And it's like the amount of time that they're spending on this home where there's no track record of any problem, nothing. There's just like nothing. It's like a perfect home for a child. And those are few and far between to come by in this system.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of, well, it'll make do system houses. Now, wouldn't one think maybe the effort should be put over there into those worlds, into those type of homes, into those places where it's a little bit questionable? Maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
But the problem is they're a lot more difficult to work with and to deal with. So what you end up having quite often, and I'm not saying, because this is not a blanket statement to everything, but you have quite often people, they're underpaid, they don't want to do their job, they're not qualified to do their job very well. It's oftentimes their first rodeo in CPS, because it's usually an entry-level type job. They're going to go with the path of least resistance, as humans always do. And so they're going to go to the homes that are already checking the boxes so they can check their boxes and go, look, I did this and this is all good.
Yeah.
And then all the other ones, well, they fell through the cracks. Now, again, I'm not saying this is the case with all CPS workers by any means. I know several CPS workers, too. I have friends that were that got the hell out and are now in their own private practice, you know, in counseling and such. But the system is so broken and works so much against itself. It is not remotely surprising that this shit is happening at all. It's right there. The system is actually working how it's supposed to. It's a broken system problem more than anything else. We don't have the people to do these jobs. We don't have the funding for these jobs. We don't have the people that are going to be qualified to do these jobs. It doesn't. There's a lot of attention in the wrong areas, and in the areas where it needs attention, it's too difficult. And so the people that should be looking there in many cases do not. And then you get this. That's my long story of hope. Be happy to have children. Yeah.
God, I feel so much better about the situation.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Yeah. Happy Monday, everybody. But no, I mean, that it's broken. It is so broken. Yep. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and I'm walking a line in my brain of what stories do I want to share that aren't too private for people that I've known. I'm not saying any names or anything like that, but there's a lot more of just like, this is crazy. This is really, really crazy. So see something, say something, you know, that's what we all, well, what about the parents? You know, we have so many cases like this where, well, why weren't the grandparents involved? Why was it an aunt or uncle or somebody involved? Well, in this story, the allegations are that they were trying to, that the grandparents and relatives had stepped in, that they had made their presence known that, hey, there's something going on here. The house is in squalor, the kid's not being taken care of. And what happens? Well, all the rights still go with the parent and the kid. And it's basically, well, they're getting by according to CPS standards. If CPS even did truly check on the house, which I don't know the answer to that question, but somehow they deemed it, whenever the last time they checked, that it was an okay place for them to stay, and all the rest is really a civil issue. Between family members, you know, there's nothing that says the grandparents have to be involved in the child's life, even if they want to be, even if they're screaming, there's something horribly wrong. They're not the guardian. And so their shouting from a hilltop is about as powerful as a stranger shouting at a hilltop, too, in many cases. So you had that, too. You had people saying, hey, we want to step in. We want to help. This is not okay. The system protects the child. And in this case, if this mom, whatever the hell she's doing, it protects her rights as well. To a fault where she can literally lose the kid.
Yes.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, like if CPS can show up, but unless they've got a warrant or something like that where they have, if the mother says, listen, I'm not going to let you in the house, they can't get in. They would have to go get a warrant and all that kind of stuff to walk in and actually do an investigation. So even if they show up, she can say, no, you're not letting you in the house. You're not going to see Melody, whatever. She has no obligation to do that.
Nope.
And there's the first part that bothers me, because if a school has called and said this child is not in school, that should be sufficient to allow a CPS worker to come in and find where that child is, period. It shouldn't have to go to court in order to get some sort of warrant to get in the house.
One would think, you know, when you're talking about things like this, where it's urgent, it can be life and death.
But
it's the bureaucracy that gums everything up.
And
we don't have anything way to fix it. Yeah.
It's protecting families because, you know, we all have a crazy family member in our family. So what if this crazy member wanted to report somebody who wasn't doing anything? So I understand the safeguards.
Yeah.
I understand that. But here we've got data that's starting to stack up. This child is not seen. This child is not present in places it's supposed to be present. you've got reports of squalor by the grandparents, and I think an aunt also got involved.
Yeah.
You know, there are things are starting to stack here. So to me, this looks like a case of, okay, here's another red flag. Here's another one. We need to intervene and make sure that this child is safe. At the bare minimum, is this child safe? Is the child even alive at this point?
Is the child there?
Yeah.
This in many ways, the incompetence that's going on here, but it is following the rules, and that's the problem here, is about, it reminds me in some ways of the Uvalde school shooting, where you have literally 300 officers outside of that school as one teenager was going through and massacring students and teachers, and nobody would go in.
Yeah. Well, the parents.
Why? Because they didn't have the order. Because the right person didn't say go. Meanwhile, you're hearing the shots and there's nobody in the damn building. But everybody's following the order blindly. That is the problem to which we live today. Because everyone is just because everybody's so afraid of losing that job, getting in trouble. I don't know why people are so afraid of stepping out of line. Like people used to step by. When it comes to common sense shit, nobody's doing it. And like this is happening in real time with this case, with this little girl. And everybody's like, well, that's how it works. It is. It is how it works. Why? Why are we doing nothing about this? Why are we doing nothing to fix this? Because it just happens over and over and over again. I mean, literally, October 7th, you have security footage of Melody, who's 9, in a gray hoodie and a dark wig at a rental car counter. Her mother rents a white Chevy Malibu, and 3 days later, mom is back home alone after the trip to Nebraska. And mom ain't telling anybody why she was there or anything at all. They're literally going in and searching her home. And I feel like an arrest is almost imminent at this point. And yes, by the time one's watching this, she may be arrested. Over the weekend, they went in and searched all of her stuff. But that's what they're doing. They have to try and build this case. But Is there any logical explanation here?
No.
I don't think so. A couple of things. We had somebody say, where's the father? The father actually passed away in 2016.
Yeah, he's not in the picture at all.
And actually, the mother, I believe, had undiagnosed or diagnosed postpartum depression around that time as well. Yep. One of the things I want to mention is the pictures that we're seeing of Melody are basically the pictures that we have on screen. If you're listening, they would be on YouTube. But if you're watching on YouTube, that is the same person. That is Melody on the right. That is Melody on the left. The family says that they were still involved with Melody at least 2 years ago, which means she would be about 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more current than the picture you're seeing of that child on the right. And I'm not good at this, but let's play a little contest. How old is Melody on the right?
I'm going to go 4 or 5.
I'm going to say 4 or 5, too. The family doesn't have any other pictures of this young girl.
Bullshit. I have 30,000 pictures of my cats. Can you see my screen right now? That's my screensaver. I shit you not. If I type in Chester or Spike, you will see that there are 30,000 pictures of my cats. Don't tell me there's not a
picture of this
child.
Well, that's a whole other disorder.
Well, here's the thing. If your cat went missing, you'd be able to put up posters. I guess my point is, I know the family says they haven't been involved for 2 years.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bigger disconnect there than just, hey, 2 years ago we turned her into CPS, but you know, all this guy. There's something else there. And it makes me distrust the family just a little bit.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation like this. So I can't say how I would react, but I know I wouldn't react this way. I wouldn't be as so dismissive that I'd be like, well, she doesn't want us around. We'll just fade off into the, especially when you know there's a problem.
Right.
Especially when you know there's postpartum depression going on. There's a loss of a loved one or a father to the child. There's some trauma going on here.
And now I'm not saying the grandparents or aunts or whoever did anything wrong. I'm just saying, I know I wouldn't handle it that way. And I don't think a lot of us would handle it that way. I'd probably be breaking some laws if I had to get there, to get to a child, to get towards a grandchild, your own blood, if I knew that they were in danger. I would at some point I'd be saying F you to CPS and F you to mom too. If mom is being that incompetent and that dangerous, mm-hmm. you just would. And then I'd let the system sort it out from there. If I have to make the big stink, if I have to go take this kid away because they are in danger with this parent, I'll do it.
Yeah.
If it's my grandchild and you want to go arrest me for it, fine, come and arrest me for it. But then we got the spotlight over here. Then we can go, here's why. And I can turn that spotlight right back on them and go, ha, problem, let's fix it.
Yeah.
Because no one else is. I don't know if they're just relying on the system to fix the problem and no one did, or if we don't know the answer to this, and it could very well be that the mom, Ashley, completely, you know, went, you know, completely off the grid, where no one knew where she lived or where her address was. There's a lot of ways that this woman could have kicked her family out of her life or extended family, and they would have no idea where this woman was.
Or Todd, tell us what that, I'm sorry, Tony, for those of you watching on YouTube, Todd, tell us what that picture is on the right. Is that?
That is Ashley. That is the mother on the right.
That's mom.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Here's the interesting part. I don't know if you guys have dug too much into it, but I watched a lot of videos over the weekend, a lot of coverage of this. And there was a video of, I believe, a cousin of Ashley, the mother, who stopped by the house to say, hey, what's going on? And of course, somebody filmed it, you know, because mm-hmm. you got to have a TV crew whenever you do stuff like that. But there was a photo of the mother at the door, and she looks nothing like that anymore.
And that's why I asked, because right. I'm like, that's mm-hmm. not what I saw.
What you see in the video, and I tried to pull it this morning and wasn't able to, but she has very short hair, probably mm-hmm. a wig, looking very, very pale, doesn't look like that at all. And so, no. you know, there's some speculation, even with authorities saying maybe she's having some sort of break. And something happened with the child. I think that's what most people are thinking. But I want to play devil's advocate and say, we don't have all the details here. Mm-hmm. We're assuming an awful lot. We're assuming that the family is being honest and truthful. And we're also assuming that there was nothing dangerous going on with the family. I mean, I was trying to put myself in this mother's spot.
Yeah.
Like if I felt my daughter was in danger from family or maybe somebody else, I okay. might mm-hmm. take my daughter and get her the hell out of Dodge and not yeah. tell the cops where she was and do the whole thing and keep her safe. I don't think that's what's going on here, but we yeah. just don't have a lot of details right now.
And we don't have a system that is able to check itself to help or assist if that's what's going on. If that's what she was doing, she should be informing the police of that. She should be telling them off the record, here's what's going on. And then they should be able to back off. But the thing is, she's not. She's just not cooperating, period. But even when you have people who are cooperating, all it takes is them just to tell you some sort of bullshit story for a little while. Look at Lori Daybell.
Right.
That case is one where the officers were following the protocol, but for the love of God, they failed. They failed so miserably. Lori, I don't know if you knew that part of the story, Todd, but before those kids were missing, when they ended up going and arresting them in Hawaii, Chad and Lori on their little honeymoon vacation, police kept doing CPS checks. The Woodcocks, Kay and Larry, the mm-hmm. grandparents, kept saying, hey, our grandkids are missing. This woman is not stable. She's saying these crazy things. I mean, this, and there was a track record of people saying Lori is not well. Lori yeah. is saying crazy things, and these kids are in her care, and now they're missing. And she always has had an excuse. Oh, they're out watching Frozen. They're with my friend over here in this state or that state. And then you have the interjurisdictional hellscapes that come between departments, where if it's not within your own department, number one, within your own state can be hell. And then let's go multi-state. Let's go to some complete different area. And if they're over there, I mean, good luck. I mean, sometimes you can get information, sometimes you can't. It all depends. It's luck of the draw and how well these hands can work together for the mission of trying to keep these children safe. And it went on for months.
Yep.
Months and months and months of, where are your kids? Oh, they're here. Oh, they're there. No proof of it.
Those kids None did whatsoever. Not have to die. There were people who who were taking the time, you know, the Woodcocks, being so concerned, vigilant, and making calls to the authorities. And like you're saying, there's just nothing. Why didn't they say, you need to produce your children right fucking now?
Because that's not how the law works. Maybe and it's different from state to state. We don't have any sort of like, this is, it's such, the CPS system is different from state to state, then it's different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction within the state. There is nothing national about any of this that like allows anything to like work or flow cohesively. And yet our children are our future.
Right.
It's 25. It's, you know, 2025 at this point, if we can't have some sort of system set up so that departments can share information properly, it is unbelievable.
My Starbucks card works at every Starbucks. I drive by one and it gives me an alert. So you can't fucking do this for children?
The
you can track
is,
me on my phone.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're going to say, Tony. Say it.
The reality, I think so many people think the system does work that way. They think it does, and they don't pay attention. To that these things go on because it's icky and it's another missing kid and kids have always gone missing. Yes. But people think the system does work in these sort of ways. And when they hear a story like this, they're like, oh, my God, how is it doing that? Because it's always worked this way. You just haven't been paying attention.
You're bringing up a really good point. I think that's really accurate.
And nobody cares. At the end of the day, I mean, if you want like an issue, like you would think the things that people like politicians go off and campaign on, that this would be one of them, that this would be a motivating factor that people could get behind. It could be some red meat to throw out there that most people could be like, yeah, this is broken. This really needs some help. I would really get behind it. Instead, they throw other bullshit out there to get people angry on whatever side, very divisional issues, rather than something that actually would bring people together. And you know why? My theory is that nothing ever gets done with any of this because the people in power are eating the kids. Not like literally eating them, but they're literally trafficking them.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I wanted you to say, because that's where I thought you were going a little while ago. And after our deep discussion last week with Robin Dreek on this very subject, I mean, I think you're right. I think, it's perfectly fine the way it is because it benefits what we're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're getting disenfranchised kids that are coming from rough homes that are seeking something
there. I mean,
anything, literally these poor freaking kids. And then they get trafficked and then they get into that world and then they disappear from the system and nobody knows where they are. And in many cases, there's no one there to even know they're missing because no one cares about them. Why did this little girl not have any more pictures? Because there's something wrong with mom that she didn't take any more pictures. And the fact that mom's not out there going, here's the most recent pictures of my missing daughter. Because there's something very wrong with mom. We don't know what mom did yet, but there's something clearly not right going on here. But that's the thing. The system itself, I believe, I don't think it's necessarily trackable in some sort of institutional way where, well, there's this department of, we're going to traffic the kids out of here to there. But you have so many people that are within the system, so many roaches within that run it, that are pieces of it, parts of it that can know how to work it and know how to take the kids here and there and know how to tell whoever out there in child traffic land where to go get their next meal. It's pretty fucked up. And then who would be the people to change that system? Those really rich people in power that we know have one hell of a history and an appetite for kids. So, gee, there might not be a lot of motivation to investigate this on a deeper level, to investigate the systems themselves on a deeper level, because the stones you're going to start unturning there, oh, God, That's gonna unearth a lot of people. A lot of people that don't want to be unearthed. And, you know, we talk about the Epstein files. That's like on such a massive scale and such large scale in terms of the people who that could unearth. But this stuff is going on smaller scales too. Mm-hmm. It's not always people that everyone knows their name. It's those people that have more money than God and don't know what else to do. And this becomes their fantasy or their fetish or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
They're out there and they're everywhere. And again, why on earth would this not be like the biggest campaign issue in history? Unless the people in power don't want an investigation into it. Just like right now we're sitting here and we can't get the Epstein files released because Mike Johnson doesn't want to seat an elected congressperson. Gee, what's going on here? Now, do I think Mike Johnson is trafficking children himself? Probably not. But I really wonder why on earth we can't get to the bottom of this. And I don't care what party it is. I don't care who it pulls down. I don't care what name from what party. Because you start throwing out there and you go, oh, well, you think people will assume you're talking about Trump. They'll go, oh, you mean Biden? I mean fucking anybody.
I don't care who is
anybody.
On that list.
I don't fucking care.
If Betty White were on that list, she needed to go down. Yeah.
And why the fuck are you making it political? Because like anybody, I don't care who's on the list. If you're on the list, if your name's out there, if you're in it, your politics don't make a goddamn bit of difference to me.
Yep. If you're doing
it shouldn't
to
anyone
to
else. It's a red flag for anybody that's jumping on the political bandwagon going, well, it's like, what are you hiding? Why are we making this political? Again, I'll say it a lot. I don't know anyone that protects predators other than predators. And if one is protecting a predator for their own well-being, for their own monetary gain, for their own clout, for their own status, whatever, guess what? You're a predator too, even if you're not necessarily taking the kids in yourself. If you are hiding behind that, your own well-being to protect someone that you damn well know is a predator, you are a predator by default as well too. So this is the system we live in. This is the system we voted for. This is the system we continue to enable. And it is enabled by stupidity and continuing to vote for people who allow this shit to happen.
Maybe we shouldn't be so surprised by it then.
I'm not.
Why are we surprised? Well, I don't know. I'm shocked by it. Every time I see one of these stories, I'm just appalled and I can't believe it happens. And how are we letting this happen? But yet, what are we doing about it?
Because we're stupid. Because we are stupid as a society and we make bad choices about who we elect. And we elect people for the wrong reasons and we believe bumper stickers and we believe memes and we believe the stupidest shit out there. But we don't believe actual facts. We don't believe our own eyes when our kids go missing and this shit happens and there's literally a missing child. We tone it out. We tune it out. Ooh, it's icky. I don't want to hear about that. I just want to go over here where it's safe and it makes me feel better about myself. This shit's been going on forever, but nobody wants to fucking deal with it. That's why we have the problem. No, we don't. At the end of the day, we don't. And that's the fucking reality. There are plenty of people who do. As a society, they're too fucking distracted with everything else in their world to give a shit because it's not theirs. It can't happen to me. It only happens to this group of people over here, this disenfranchised group over here. And that's icky. And they should have made better choices. And they should have, could have, would have. That's the world we live in. Q Brooks and Dunn, only in America.
You're not wrong. You're not fucking wrong. And at the end of the day, what do we do about it? You know, I've stepped
in. We vote
in
for better people, but that requires intelligence.
Incredible thought.
And it also requires having that conversation. Like, we don't talk about this stuff in the media enough. Yes, there's programs devoted to it, right? But this is a big problem across the country. If there was something out there, a drug or something like that, that was taking lives, right? Just every day, we would know all about it. We hear about cancer. Yep. We hear about heart disease in men. We hear all about this stuff, but we don't hear about the quote unquote silent killers that are going on around us all the time. You really don't hear about this stuff like we probably should. It should be required reading. It should be required information that we have to take in just to be in our communities. We should know what's going on, and we don't.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.